welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely awesome day today. Hope you're having a blessed day down here at Health Master. We're having an awesome day. Have some great news for you guys. We ended up getting a batch of the Ultimate Multiple Powder. We had basically been out of it, and we had a new batch coming in, and we found out when we were getting it that it essentially was an older batch that we had already had. And so this product was manufactured, essentially a manufacture date of between 10 and 11 of 2016. When we have tested it, it's usually staying having a best buy date of about November 2019 or 11 2019. We've been using it here at the office. A lot of our family's been using it, trying it out, see what we were going to do with it. And we decided that we wanted to give the opportunity to a lot of our customers to give this product a try out at a heavily discounted price. The product still works perfect, tastes perfect, perfectly sealed. There's nothing, no issues at all. It's been pretty much at 72 degrees in the storehouse the entire time since manufacturing. So if you guys want to give the Ultimate Multiple Powder a shot, we have it on the website right now. I went ahead and discounted it to 55% off. It's essentially at $29.99 right now, which, as you guys know, is well below what we even pay for it. But essentially, we wanted to give everybody the opportunity to give it a try and stock it up if you want to. A lot of people I know use this stuff, you know, a can or two a month with the whole family. So I wanted to extend that opportunity. We have a very limited supply of it, but I wanted to make sure our listeners knew that we had it in stock on the front page of the website. It will never get cheaper than this again. I promise you that. This is essentially something that Dad and I wanted to do to help out our Health Masters customers, because we have a lot of people that want that product. It's very expensive to manufacture. But this gives you an opportunity to try it now for honestly hardly anything. Because remember, the powder is equivalent to two bottles total, two bottles of the capsules. The capsules are normally $26.99. And then we add in the additional flavor and the stevia and the monk fruit and really clean it up so it tastes really good and super dose the B vitamins in it compared to the capsules. So getting a can at $29.99 is beyond cheap, put it that way. So I want to extend that out to everybody. Hope you enjoy it. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I've been watching the Donald Trump reality show, and I have to admit, I got to report on something today. I mean, this I laughed so hard when I saw this. I thought, you know, this is so ridiculous. I mean, why are they doing this? And it's basically, here's the article, it's by Feldman, and it goes, Trump goes off on washed-up psycho Bette Midler for spreading fake quote and called her a sick scammer. President Trump is still in the UK, and around 1:30 a.m. there, the President of the United States went off on a tear against Bette Midler. Yesterday, Midler apologized after being called out for sharing a fake quote of Trump saying, "Don't know how I missed it, but it sounds so much like him that I believed it was true." Whatever now. So you go, basically, did Trump say in 1998 that Republicans are dumb? And the president is predicted in a late-night tweet by calling Midler a washed-up psycho and a sick scammer. I mean, it's not like she said anything really, really bad that Trump probably didn't say, but it made national news. And I just started laughing about this morning, Austin. I said, this is indeed the Donald Trump reality comedy hour. I mean, now Bette Midler, now she is a washed-up actress. I mean, she's done. She even admits that. But she's trying to maintain relevance. And what they've learned in Hollywood and what the marketing people have taught them, it doesn't matter what they do as long as they keep their name in the press. If they're talking about you and saying good things, they say it's good. If they're talking about you and saying bad things, it's good. And if they're not talking about you at all, then it's bad. That's how the marketing works as far as the Hollywood people, and a lot of other manufacturers feel the same way. In fact, when I was in the MBA program, they taught us that no name recognition, no marketing was bad, that it was all good as far as being in the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. However, I don't agree with all that. Monsanto's now involved in massive amounts of lawsuits. You know, aspartame is going to be next as far as lawsuits. And all of these different groups of people that are doing all these horrible things that are being found out, that are being sued in the press, you know, in fact, even with all the sexual harassment in Hollywood, that's not really healthy news. I mean, you know, the old Weinstein out there is not really happy that he's basically been found out for all the things that he's done. So it's all of these things that they do in Hollywood to try to make you think that they're relevant. And Bette Midler hasn't been relevant in many, many, many years. But to me, it's crazy that Donald Trump calls her a washed-up psycho. She's got to be tickled pink this morning that she's being called a washed-up psycho by the President of the United States, that she's getting that kind of name recognition right now, because now she'll be the champion like David Hogg was down in Parkland in the shooting in Florida, the little 18, 17, 19, 25-year-old, whatever the kid's age is, being down there in the shooter system, being put in front of everybody and made relevant. Same thing with Cortez, made relevant. She's always in the news. Why? Because they're using her and they're building her name recognition exactly like they did Hillary Clinton, exactly like they did Bill Clinton, exactly like they did Donald Trump on The Apprentice. They built him up, so everybody knew the name Trump. So it's something how they work on the guys and work on us, Austin, from a psychological standpoint, and how they continue to do everything they possibly can to manipulate the groupthink of the United States, son. What do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. That's exactly what we have seen now with the mainstream media. Is what's even sadder about it now is they'll proclaim bold-faced lies. We've seen this done on Twitter. We've seen this done on CNN. We've seen this done all across the place. And bold-faced lies. Perfect example was this blithering idiot, Jesse Smollett in Chicago. I mean, completely fabricates a hate crime and gets off. The media justifies it. I remember after it happened, the media were saying, well, you know, he's been, you know, all these things have happened to him, and start playing him as the victim. And what's ironic about it is all that stuff happened. The media completely eviscerated Trump supporters, Americans, Christians, patriots, conservatives, Republicans. Everybody got lumped into this hate category because allegedly MAGA country individuals that were white did this to him. Go to find out, as you guys already know, they were black Nigerian brothers that Smollett paid. And what's ironic, though, the CNN not one time apologized for their incredibly angry bigotry and racist rhetoric towards the American population via CNN and the mainstream media, all based on a fake hate crime. Nothing. They never apologized. Just like before, that's what I told you guys before, this whole Russian collusion thing. It's been one big giant psych-op. Notice, the mainstream media hasn't backpedaled on fake news. They haven't backpedaled on Christians. They haven't backpedaled on patriots anymore. They haven't come back and issued a formal apology for all the lies they spewed for the last 2 years. Google hasn't come back now and said, hey, guess what, guys? We understand the whole fake news collusion was a complete and totally fabricated narrative spearheaded by Hillary Clinton and other communist deep state agents. And we understand that now. So we're going to back off this unbelievably heavy censoring on social media and on Google and on YouTube and et cetera down the list. We're going to back off on it now that we know the entire aspect of why we did what we did was based on a hoax. You haven't heard that at all, because it was all designed to do exactly what Dad's talking about. It was designed to get the term fake news in the media, spin it so that CNN, the ones that actually give the fake news, blame anybody else that doesn't follow their narrative for fake news, blame the Russians, blame Trump, blame all everybody on the right that wants to do anything positive for this country, and blame them, and then turn around and push their narrative of tyrannical police state. Yesterday, Dad and I had an in-depth show, if you guys go back and listen to that, on everything that's going on from China to the deep state surveillance to what they're trying to do now with these different bills that they're trying to pass. I mean, we even have now, I told you guys yesterday, Biden trying to go in and talk about the Equality Act, pushing that. It's his number one priority in the United States if he becomes president, which the thing that nobody seems to understand about this is why in the world is 97% of the United States population being forced to submit to 3% of the population that are in the LGBTQ, RSTUV, WXYZ category. I mean, the whole thing's a joke. It's an absolute joke, but it's not when you realize this goes along with the communist agenda. Once everybody believes the lie, once everything that everybody believes is a lie, they'll have done their work, and that's exactly what they've done around the mainstream media. Doesn't matter if it's a lie. Doesn't matter if it's completely and totally fabricated out of thin air. They double down on it. They push the narrative because a large percentage of the American population will believe it no matter what, because it comes from their television. I always remember back in the 50s, the television was patented as a mind control tool. You can look it up. You can look at a patent number on it. That's what they built the television for. The sole purpose when they built it and filed for a patent on it was for a mind control tool. So a large percentage of the population, when you start adding in fluoride, heavy metals through all the different vaccines, mercury, the MSG, the glyphosate, the aspartame, and everything in between, people start becoming so dumbed down, and they start their cognitive thinking, their free thought, their ability to actually look at things and go, this doesn't make sense. Why is this happening? Why are they saying this? The people just automatically start believing it once they become dumbed down enough. This is why in Australia, they had a billboard that came up and said, do you know what's in a vaccine? Question mark. That was all it said on it. And the prime minister had a conniption fit, said it was rubbish, said it was lies, said it was completely and totally horrible propaganda. And everybody that had half of a brain goes, but they just asked a question. They weren't making really even a statement. They were asking a question. No. Can't ask questions. Can't ask the questions at all. Just follow what we tell you. And that's exactly what's going on now. And that's why we've seen the social media and all these other platforms demonetize, censor, blacklist anybody that's essentially pushing the conservative American Christian patriot movement, because they don't want the other group of the population in the United States even hearing the questions. For example, what's in your vaccine? That question has to be forbidden. That question cannot be asked. That's why now they've done everything they can in so many states to make it illegal, essentially, to not get vaccines, or make it as hard as physically possible. I mean, New York now is still rolling with that whole nonsense up there, with the whole measles mandatory MMR shot up there. They're still fighting with that. California now has had this bill that they've been trying to push through with Dr. Pan over there to make it so doctors can't even write medical exemptions on vaccines. They're taking it that far in California. Now, whether or not this goes through or not, I don't know. They're getting a lot of backlash, because even people that aren't pro or even anti-vaccine, or they're in the middle, are going, you now, and this is the irony in California, right? So in California, a doctor, pretty much at the whim of his opinion, if he believes so, he can perform an abortion on a female at pretty much any point in time and execute the child when, you know, basically in the womb, or when he comes out of the womb, they can execute. They can kill the unborn child via abortion. And it's the doctor's opinion at any time, and it goes on record that it's his opinion, and it's carte blanche immunity. Pretty much the doctor can do whatever he wants with abortions. There's really not much oversight. They can do whatever they want. Doctors, it's okay. We can kill the child. We think the mom's depressed, or the mom doesn't want the baby, or she just doesn't feel like having another child. We can execute the child. Okay, that's cool. Now they have a bill that they're trying to pass that says, no, doctors cannot write a medical exemption, even though a child come in and he's having peanut allergies and milk allergies and latex allergies, and every time we give him a vaccine, he swells up like a balloon, goes into convulsions, has seizures, and is paralyzed for a week until he finally possibly recovers, if he ever does. No. The doctor can't do that. No. We need to have the health department is the only agency in California that can approve a medical exemption. Doctors do not have the right to write a legitimate medical exemption for a vaccine because somebody has a deathly allergy to it. That's not possible. But the doctor has carte blanche immunity to perform an abortion and execute a child. If you can't see the irony in that out there, I don't know what else to tell you. And this is the paradigm that we're having in the United States now, where they're doing everything they can to make bad good. Everything that is bad is supposed to be good. They're flipping it upside down, which is the mantra of the globalists and the communists and the bankers. That's what they have done for thousands of years. But you have to wake up and you have to see through the smoke and realize what they're doing. In my opinion, just my opinion, about 90 to 95% of what the mainstream media, including most of the government and the other alphabet agencies, tell us is either fabricated partially or a bold-faced lie, or is used as propaganda to push another agenda. Almost all of it has a specific agenda they're trying to push. I mean, I saw a thing on Instagram the other day. ATF now posted a gay pride post. ATF. ATF posted a gay pride post, basically in support of all the LGBTQRSTUZ and whatever other letters you want to add to it, including P for pedophilia. They basically are saying, oh, we support these guys. It's gay pride month. Well, I missed the memo, Dad. I haven't got the email yet. I must have missed the memo. I haven't heard about a heterosexual pride month, a straight pride month. I haven't heard of it yet. I mean, I'm sure we have one because that would be discriminatory to tell us that we can't have one. But I guess I missed the memo because we haven't had one yet. But this is the lunacy that we're having now, to where the entire government agencies are going in and capitulating and submitting to the 3% of the population that demand they have equal rights. And this equality bill is not what anybody thinks it is. They are going to go in now, and it's a federal bill that says, essentially, you cannot deny somebody any bathroom or anything regardless of their sex or gender identity, which means they're going to allow federally across the country, you will be breaking a federal law if you tell a grown man that he cannot go into the women's bathroom with your daughter in the stall when you go to a restaurant or a store. There'll be a federal law. And on top of that, they are also saying it will be discriminatory under federal law, and you'll be prosecuted if you do not hire someone based on their gender identity. This is what Biden said his number one priority is, to push in the law. So if you have somebody come in your office and he walks in, he's 6'4", foot 4, and he's got long hair, if he talks like a man, he goes, well, I identify as a female. I'm going to use the bathroom with all the girls in this office. I want you to hang out with all the girls because I'm a girl. I'm a big girl. You can't tell me I can't go to the bathroom with big girls. And you go, sorry, sir, this just probably isn't the office for you. And he's going to go, you're discriminating against me because I'm a girl? Oh, I'm filing federal charges on you right now. I'm turning you in. It's a hate crime. And now all of a sudden your whole business is wrapped up in a giant investigation with federal authorities on the Equality Act because you didn't hire somebody based on their gender identity. That is verbatim in the Equality Act right now. So best you believe, this is what they're trying to push. Not only are they getting tolerant of it 15, 20 years ago, then they told you you had to accept it and it became normal. Then they made it legal. Now they want to embrace it and make it federally legal, that you have to not only embrace it, you have to coddle it and hug it and kiss it and show it to your kids and say, this is the new normal. This is what they are doing in the media, and it doesn't matter how many lies they project or what they push on the population. We have to stay strong and continue to push the truth. The truth will set you free, and that is something we all have to continue to remember, Dad.
You know, Austin, the show you did last Tuesday in which you talked about the university that Trump attended and what they wrote up in New York, and how they said they're going to sodomize our children and they're going to take over the offices and everything else. This is exactly what the agenda is. I mean, Trump is the biggest he's more of a pro-gay president than Obama was. Obama didn't try to push stuff like this through. And I mean, we've got ourselves a complete and total turncoat on the White House who's doing exactly what he's being told to do in this particular area. And people say, well, he's better than Hillary. What difference would Hillary have done? He's got red flag gun laws going. He's got, you know, basically, the gay thing going through the roof. He basically is telling us all now that he's, you know, pro-abortion, you know, certain cases. I mean, you know, and you got Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, which I don't care for at all, telling people he used to be good back about 30 years ago. He's not anymore. He's just old and senile as far as I'm concerned. He's telling everybody that, you know, the Alabama law went too far. And I mean, it's just the people that we have in charge that have claimed to be these hardcore Christians or ran on a Christian platform or who had Christian people praying for them at their inauguration, like Trump, they've been completely now turned over to this new world order. Now, I got to think through this for just one second because, you know, we got to think through Trump's past. Trump's always been pro-gay, pro-lesbian, pro-homo. He used to be pro-abortion. He used to be a Democrat, all of this stuff. And I don't know how you change your colors and your stripes like that. I mean, years ago, I was pretty much neutral on the abortion thing. I didn't care for it or whatever before I got saved. And in Florida, where I used to live, in Central Florida, where I still live, I'm up here in North Carolina right now. I ended up basically, you know, being a registered Democrat. I was like 18 years old. I registered Democrat because everybody was a Democrat. You couldn't vote in any primaries because everybody ran in the primaries. As soon as Reagan came in and he started talking the way he was talking about the problems with Jimmy Carter, so I immediately changed my party affiliation. Then I got saved, but right before that, so then I became anti-abortion, And I've never changed. I've been like that now for, you know, close to 40 years. And the craziest thing about all of this stuff, Austin, is that, you know, when we look at what's happening in the world and we see the government people that we have in power, it's very confusing because they say they're going to do one thing and they all are a bunch of liars. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. I don't care what gay people do. I don't agree with it. I don't care. I just don't want to be involved in it. I want them to leave me and my family alone. I don't want them trying to sodomize my children or get me involved in their weird stuff that they do. If they want to be perverted, you know, like I said before with you guys, if you want to know how God feels about this stuff, about sodomy, Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't exist. It's gone. It's wiped out long ago. So what we have to do is ask ourselves the question, why is it so important to them to be normalized? Why is it so important to them to want to promote homosexuality to the point that they're forcing us to accept it? And it's because of perversion. And it's because of Lucifer. It's because of their father, the devil. This is what he wants. The same group of people who crucified Christ, the same group of people that did all these other things throughout all the thousands of years are the same people that are pushing this agenda. The same people who pushed that agenda in Genesis chapter 6 are the same people pushing it again, the homosexual agenda. It's a form of perversion, and what it does, it goes against God's creation, and it tries to make a mockery out of what God wanted us to do and what he wanted us to be. It's inversion. Their whole thing's inversion. They want to turn everything upside down. Men with women, no more. They want to have men with men and women with women. Instead of having beautiful blue skies, they want to pump us full of chemtrails. Instead of having us, you know, be super healthy and have no vaccines and eat clean food, they want to pump us full of GMOs and vaccines. Everything's an inversion, because I'm going to say this to the new listeners who are coming in now. The thing with Lucifer and the thing that's going on with all of these demons, these entities that run this planet, number one, they're unbelievably mad that God created us in his image. They're mad about that, okay? They're jealous of us. And not only are they jealous of us and they're mad at us, they hate us because they want to be us. They can't be us. They can't be created in God's image. They've done everything they can to manipulate the human genome, you know, fusing the satanic DNA into it, and to try to change us into something different because they're so angry. And that's what you have to understand. It always goes back to a battle against, you know, these principalities and these unseen places and these interdimensional entities. That's what it is. Or these aliens coming in spaceships or whatever the heck you want to call these things that aren't from around here. I remember Chuck Missler said to me one time, I asked him, I said, well, what about these spaceships? He goes, they're fallen angels or whatever, what we would call that. I said, well, why does an angel need a spaceship? And he says, well, why do you think you can tell them how they're supposed to travel? And I went, well, I didn't really think about that. I really haven't really thought about that, because, you know, we think of, they got wings on them, and they're flapping around in the atmosphere, and where they coming in and out of interdimensional space, we can't tell them what they're supposed to be running around with as far as if they leave this area. All of it's weird to me. I mean, because it's so opposite of what we're taught in Christianity. Because, quite frankly, Christianity, you know, back, you know, the Roman times in 323, they took the Book of Enoch out. And that's why it's still in the Ethiopian. It's still in the Ethiopian Bible as apocryphal text. But the Catholic Church took it out because apparently, when they brought all of their weird stuff into the teachings in 323 and started having their Venus worship and all the other things they started doing, you know, with Mary and the child and all the stuff they started doing, they brought all these Roman customs into this. And guys, it's one of those things we have to really think about what we believe and what the Bible says about all of this stuff. But now, on some good news. Parkland resource officer has been charged with neglect. Negligence related to the school shooting. Wow. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement announced Tuesday the arrest of the resource officer who was on the duty at Majari Stoneman Douglas High School with the day the gunman supposedly, allegedly, said they did, maybe did, I don't know what they did, kill 17 people. FDLE said former Broward Sheriff Deputy Scott Peterson, 56, was arrested and charged with 7 counts of neglect of a child, 3 counts of culpable negligence, and 1 count of perjury, according to the Associated Press. State Attorney Mike Satz said the charges carry a combined prison sentence of nearly 100 years. Peterson's bail was set at $102,000. In a news release, the FDLE Commissioner Rick Swearingen said FDL's 15-month investigation found Peterson did absolutely nothing to stop the shooting. He says there can be no excuse for his complete inaction and no question that his inaction cost lives. FDL said Peterson refused to investigate the source of the gunshots, retreated during the act of shooting while victims were being shot, and directed other law enforcement who arrived at the scene to remain 500 feet away from the building. Guys, he was being coached as what to do. Peterson resigned and retired soon. Retirement after the shooting. the Broward County Sheriff's Office at Peterson has now been fired. Broward County Sheriff's. So I guess he's going to be our little scapegoat. He's going to be our fall boy. He's going to be our Lee Harvey Oswald. President Broward County Sheriff Gregory Tony was appointed earlier this year after Governor DeSantis suspended Scott Israel, and Peterson's failure to act clearly warranted both termination of employment and criminal charges. He said it is never too late for accountability and justice, Sheriff Gregory Tony said. FDLE said the investigators interviewed 184 witnesses and reviewed hours of video surveillance to determine the actions of law enforcement as they responded to the February 14th shooting. Now, I'm going to say something here. Why has the shootings, the videos, the videotapes in these schools that are always there, why hasn't this information been released to the public? Why can we not see this assault team, because it wasn't the shooter they're claiming it was, why can we not see this assault team running with these strange-looking weapons, running through the hallways, and then having a bunch of guys run out of the back of the building, and the helicopter showed it, and throwing a bunch of stuff into their duffel bags and driving away in their pickup truck? Why can't we see who these guys were, what they were involved in? And why is this guy now suddenly being chosen as the scapegoat, the Judas goat, to blame everything on? Guys, something else is going on in this thing. There's a lot of heat going on down there, or something, for them to even bring this type of information up and to bring charges on this guy. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, I fully agree, bud. There's no doubt about it. There's some very strange things about that entire incident. I've told you guys in detail with that down there. I've talked to numerous people. I have a lot of connections with law enforcement all throughout Florida. And everything about that situation and that entire shooting was completely off protocol, all the way from refusing to allow EMTs in the building. They were formally told to stand down by Sheriff Israel there, not allowed to go in the building until a SWAT team had cleared it. And then on top of that, they said, okay, have SWAT team clear it, and they would not allow SWAT team. The entire SWAT team was told to stand down. And then they finally said, okay, guess what? We won't even go in with the SWAT team. We'll go in and clear it ourselves as EMT. We got high school kids in this building getting shot. We're going to go in there and do triage, and hopefully we don't get shot ourselves. And they forcibly detained the EMTs and said, no, you are not allowed to go in. If that doesn't scream that there's a whole entire setup with the whole incident, not to mention the one helicopter footage that, like, nobody's seen again. There was only a couple places that ever leaked it out. I think it's been replayed on YouTube now. There's, like, four officers. This is, like, right after the response team is there. There's four officers running out of the back of the back exit building, carrying big gear bags that looks like body armor rigs, or either, you know, bags as far as with rifles in it. I don't know what it is, but they're all carrying, and you can tell by their posturing, they're carrying it, that these are very heavy bags. They weren't walking out, you know, with a briefcase, or, you know, a little bag with, you know, a pair of boxing gloves in it. I mean, these bags look like they probably weighed 20, 30, 40 pounds. These guys are slugging them out of both hands, throw them in the back of a doggone pickup truck. They all jump in the pickup truck, and it takes off somewhere else, and then the camera angle pans off from the helicopter. What in the world's going on with that? I know for a fact, because I have multiple friends that are in SWAT, you don't bring gear into the shoot house to build up. You don't go in and gear up in the shoot house. You're already staged and prepped in the MRAP before you even deploy. You're gearing up, running armor, make sure mags are hot, everything's running before you deploy in the building. You're not going to bring gear into the building and then run back out with your gear. The whole situation didn't make any sense at all. And then, like Dad said, the lady, the teacher that got the interview one time and never got replayed again, says, I looked out the door and there's a guy in full body armor, and I'm wondering, why in the world are the police shooting? Wait a minute. Why were the police shooting? Oh, wait, they never were. There were never reports of any SWAT team members engaging in any type of gunfight at all. So why was there a man in full body armor with a face mask on, or gas mask, as she said, walking through the hall shooting at people, carrying a rifle she could not recognize? She had never seen it before, which a lot of people had speculated from my reports down there that it was Tavar 15, which is an Israeli special ops firearm. It's a bullpup. 5.56 caliber, same NATO round as the U.S. military uses, but it is a very strange-looking gun if you have never seen one before. It does not look like an AR-15 whatsoever. So I find it very odd that there's so much just strangeness, the perplexity of that shooting was so strange. Not to mention, there's no video footage of that kid ever walking into the school. None. They have never showed us footage of him walking into the school with a bag full of guns deploying in the school. Not once. We don't have a video of him in the school. We don't have him in the school shooting. We don't need that. I mean, with Columbine, I mean, you had doggone video footage of the kids walking around with a Tech 9 shooting everybody on the surveillance cameras. They wouldn't even hide that. Legitimate shooting. These kids all doped up on Adderall and Ritalin and Xanax, whatever else they were on, multiple psychiatric drugs. But this whole shooting, just all this, and then all of a sudden, the only video footage they ever release is this Cruz kid walking in front of a Shabbat synagogue, like 2 miles down the road, going to a McDonald's. I mean, does anybody else find that really, really, really strange? And then again, this guy now is basically getting laid on the altar as far as with charges with the security officer. What, over a year? I mean, pushing a year and a half? Since his incident, a year and a half? I mean, we were calling to have him arrested, or at least charges brought of him for derelict duty of a sheriff's officer right after it happened, and nothing's happened. This guy just disappeared, fell off the map, quit, and a year and a half later, now they're filing charges on him? Doesn't make sense at all. It appears to me either somebody's trying to use this as obfuscation to look in the wrong direction, or they're trying to use this to blame the patsy culprit to make somebody responsible for what happened so Sheriff Israel doesn't take the blame. Because remember, he already got dropped. He already got kicked out of the chair. DeSantis booted him out as soon as DeSantis got governor office. He said, this guy is complete and utter failure as a sheriff. I'm booting him out now. It's a governor of the state is the only one that has the ability to boot a sheriff out because he's an elected official. So that whole issue is on top of that as well. So weird, weird, weird things with that shooting. I still feel sorry for a lot of the families that actually lost loved ones there. I mean, that was when you see what's happened with these false flags, and you see the way they're done, and you see the callous disregard for life, and it's bad enough to see a lone nut or multiple people go off their hinges and do a shooting, but to know for a fact that there was some type of cover-up, you know, I don't have proof of what exactly happened at Parkland School. I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't there, but I know for a 100% fact we have not been told the truth, and we have been told at least partial truths or lies, and there has been a very invasive cover-up to make sure the general population never finds out about what really, truly happened at that school, Dad, which is a travesty in the United States that we have reached that point now here. Are you still here? I think we lost Ted.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm sorry. I was listening to you and had my microphone muted. The reality is the United States is not the United States we were raised in. I mean, what we have now is a United States that's being completely and totally controlled by the central bankers. And the same thing as communist China. And I was talking to Sharon this morning, and I said, you know, the biggest problem I have with communist China is they're using as a beta test the credit score system, allowing the people to have jobs and houses and use cars and subways and fly and trains and everything else based on their performance. And the hardest thing that we're going to have to deal with here is this. Is that they're using snitches. In other words, if you turn somebody else in, your credit score goes up. Now, that means that you don't even have to know that person. You just turn them in. So there's no moral consequences for you from a psychological standpoint in basically doing something to a friend. In other words, you have a complete stranger who does something, and you basically give the tag number out, and now that person basically gets a notch lower in his credit score, and you go up a notch higher. There's an old TV show, Austin. I don't think you ever watched it. You may have watched it once or twice. It came out in the 60s, and it came out to a real big uproar when it came out because we were still trying to be a moral nation in the 60s, even though we were having the giant Frankfurt School indoctrination centers teaching us that all have sex with whatever and whoever. It doesn't make any difference, and, you know, who cares? It was called Bewitched, the show. And Bewitched had Samantha Stevens, she was the lady, I think it was Elizabeth Montgomery was her real name, and she was a stunningly beautiful blonde, and she basically was the witch. And she was just really cute, really nice, and was supposedly a good witch. And they were indoctrinating us right then into witchcraft and why parts of witches are good and parts of witches are bad, that kind of weird stuff. And what ended up happening, it was a really funny show. And when the American population stood up in horror when it first came out, then they just left it on. It started getting attraction, and it played for multiple seasons. It had a neighbor in that show called, her name was Gladys Kravitz. And this lady, every single time anything happened in the neighborhood, she'd open the curtains up and spy on her and tell her husband. She'd go, Abner, Abner, look what they're doing now. Look what they're doing now. Look what they're doing now. The problem we have, guys, listen to me. I didn't realize how many Gladys Kravitzes there really were in this world. Many, many years ago, some 30 years, almost 30 years ago now, I moved into a neighborhood in Central Florida that was filled with Gladys Kravitzes. And Austin remembers all this. I'm not going to mention any names or I'm not going to mention any instances. And, I mean, every time anything would happen, you know, somebody would call the county on somebody else and it turned into a whole bunch of snitches in the neighborhood. It was horrible. And it ended up culminating in a giant lawsuit in the neighborhood. It ended up being a giant mess. Everybody was turning everybody in. So lest you think that people won't do that, lest you think that people won't turn in neighbors, even people that they know, people that they are supposedly friends with, people that they are kind to when they're speaking to them to their face, there are people out there, guys, that are so evil and so awful and so mean and so deceptive and so devious that every time they find something in the neighborhood wrong, if they can get a bump on their social credit score, they're calling up the county on you. They're calling up the sheriff on you. They're calling up the Department of Family Services on you. They're calling Child Protective Services on you. They're calling up the utility company on you. They're calling up, you know, the trash people pick up on you. They're going to try everything. They will do everything they possibly can to elevate their credit scores, and we're going to turn into a giant country of snitches. And what's happened is they're beta testing that particular model in China right now, and it's coming to us next. That's the problem with all of this, is that they're trying to create a global lockdown grid dictatorship in which they have a 5G network and local people that are trying to increase their credit scores. Now, from a control standpoint, this is as good as communism is going to get. This is as good as Marx is going to teach. This is as good as anything's ever going to do to enslave the population of the planet, along with re-implementing a feudal system, making everybody work on government-run houses, live in government houses, and live on government ranches. The problem with it is that these types of systems never work because they implode from internal decay. The people get totally corrupt. The people in the top get all the power and get all the stuff. Everybody else is living in poverty. And everything turns around and becomes a nightmare, just like they did in the Hunger Games. I'm telling you guys, that lesser magic, that white magic these guys have to do, they're telling you what they're going to do in the Hunger Games. If you listen closely enough, they're going to tell you what they're going to do. This is the goal, maybe not 20 years, maybe not 30 years, maybe 100 years from now, after some global cataclysm happens, they're going to turn around and produce a Hunger Games TV program that's going to be real. And we'll all be broken into our little subsections. And it's what these guys want to do because this is how they live. By the way, a Texas couple has mysteriously died after falling ill on a dream vacation in Fiji hours before they were set to fly home to their two-year son. David and Michelle Paul of Fort Worth became sick after arriving in Fiji. The cause of the couple's sudden deaths remain under investigation. Loved ones say the pair who shared a son were both fit and healthy. Family members believe they may have contracted a deadly virus as the Fiji government issued warnings about a dangerous flu season ahead. Now, I don't think that's what happened. Let me tell you what I think what happened, and I think you need to be careful with this. I'm going to give you a little heads up because it could be a virus. I don't know, but I don't think it was. I think what happened is a lot of these people don't realize that who go to these foreign countries is you got to be careful with the water because you can have all types of pathogens in the water as far as viruses and bacteria and whatever. Also, a lot of people like to eat shellfish, and they don't know how the shellfish has been prepared. Back in 1981, I was at Green Relief Golf and Country Club, home of the PGA, over in Lake Wales, Winter Haven, Florida. And I was there with Henry Minksman. He rest in peace. He's gone now. And Gene Dawes. And it was a giant seafood buffet bar. And it had shellfish and raw oysters and crabs and clams and all this. And I didn't eat clean back then. I was eating this stuff. And I ate a bunch of this stuff. And I mean, I got sick. I was sick for 5 days. I should have been hospitalized from dehydration. And Gene Dawes, the guy who went with me, he got sick for 5 days. I mean, it was awful. I literally hugged the toilet for 5 days. It was horrible. And I couldn't hold anything down. Henry didn't eat the shellfish. He didn't get sick. The irony is this. How do we know these people didn't get paralytic shellfish poisoning? Happens in Florida all the time. We have 10 to 15 people a year in Florida die from paralytic shellfish poisoning. So I'm going to say this to you very, very, very. Man, don't eat shellfish. Okay, there you go. I can't be any more blunt than that. Don't do it. I don't care. It's not worth it. Oysters, lobsters, shrimp, all these things. A cockroach is an arthropod. A lobster is an arthropod. All a lobster is a giant cockroach. That's all it is. Okay? Oysters have no excretory system. They can't contain abnormally high levels of arsenic, lead, and mercury. And, of course, zinc, which increases your sex drive, which you can take zinc from a supplemental form. You got to realize, guys, that shellfish poisoning, if it ever happens to you, and it did, it cured me of eating shellfish forever and ever. Oh, man, I don't ever want to touch this stuff again. And guys, it's one of those things that you got to think about this. If you go on vacation, make sure you're drinking bottled water. Making sure that, you know, you don't end up with giardia. Make sure you don't end up getting toxic shellfish, you know, shellfish shock. But they don't like talking about this. In Florida, you never hear about people dying from shellfish poisoning or toxic shock or any of these other types of things that happen, or paralytic shellfish poisoning. Why? Because it's not good for the tourism. So be very, very careful when you go out and when you eat things. It's so important that you avoid shellfish. By the way, Iran is 6 months away from having nuclear weapons. I don't believe that. This warns the former director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and it says that Israel should be worried. Oli Hanioin, ex-head of the IAEA's security team, warned of Iran's nuke ambitions. He said that Iran is between 6 and 8 months away from nuclear weapons. He has no idea if that's true. He said that Israel and the Gulf states need to be prepared to face a nuclear threat from Tehran. Warning comes after Trump administration backed out of the Iran nuclear deal, prompting Tehran to threaten that it would restart its nuclear program. Let me tell you what this is. This is to produce provocation of Iran attacking Israel. That this is to create the air of, how should I say, Iran's about to have a nuclear weapon, so we need to go in and do a preemptive strike on Iran. This is Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Remember that dialogue, guys, 20 years ago? Saddam Hussein has nukes. He has uranium tubes. He's doing cankuranium. He's had Colin Powell before the United States, you know, the UN's General Assembly, justifying going in and invading a foreign country. All of this stuff was done in advance. So Iran had no nuclear weapons. They may have had some gas, but they didn't use any of it. They didn't have any ability to produce nuclear weapons, but we were told they did. This is the exact same script. They're playing again now with Iran to justify going in and taking over another foreign country and basically installing another Rothschild-controlled, international globalist, Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian-controlled central bank. Speaking about fund money right now, gold sees its biggest inflow since Brexit as investors' exodus contagion spreads to credit. We have gold now at about $1,345. It's come up a lot, about $50, $60 an ounce in the last few weeks, and it's continuing to see more and more people go into gold, and there's probably going to be a big push into gold and precious metals. And I know that this is all being manipulated. I'm going to say that right up front because they know what the gold is going to be. And they make sure that they manipulate the markets. Gold should be right now, with what's happened with the M1. We had less than $1 trillion in physical circulation in 2007. Here, I'm going to repeat that. The M1 money supply was around, right, I think it was $800 billion to $1 trillion in circulation of available cash 10, 12 years ago. We now have 20 times that, more than that. Gosh, they had $20 trillion off-book balance sheets. That basically Bernanke refused to say where the money went. So we know it's probably 40 to 50 times what it was. Gold was, you know, at $800 an ounce way back when. It should be 50 times that. It should be at $40,000 an ounce now if it was staying up with what was going on with the M1 money supply, because it's always maintained a hedge against inflation. Silver should be, you know, whatever, $2,000-$3,000 an ounce now. It's not. Because they've intentionally kept the market manipulated through naked shorts. In other words, they'll dump 100 million ounces of gold they don't have at the COMEX, you know, on the market. They don't have it. They dump it on the market, and they sell it, and they don't put a baseline on it as far as how low it can be sold, and it just pushes the price down, 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 until they maintain and manipulate the markets. And, of course, people have gone to jail. People have been fined for this and everything else. That doesn't make any difference. They're going to keep doing it. One more thing, and I'll let Austin jump into this. Canterbury, the ATF nomination. This tale doesn't have a happy ending for Gus. Wow. Chuck Canterbury being nominated to ATF again, good old Donald Trump, being your guns rights champions means that he supports the woman who agreed the right to possess a gun is clearly not a fundamental right. That's what he said. That's what he believes. He believes it is not a fundamental right that we should be allowed to have guns. He's been nominated as the ATF director. An anti-gunner seeking the ATF's top position can do a lot of damage to keep your rights and bear to arms. Canterbury's ATF director isn't a tale that ends well. Canterbury pushes for gun control. Chuck Canterbury is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, an organization which touts itself as the voice of our nation's law enforcement officers, as As president of the FOP, he has asked Congress to address gun violence by passing three gun control measures that would make your blood boil. First, he wants the universal background checks. Second, he wants to invigorate the ATF, which is the most corrupt agency in America, and give it the manpower and resources to enforce laws. And third, he wants law enforcement to have better access to mental health records. There we go, for keeping guns out of the wrong hands. In other words, he wants to make sure that he enforces his red flag gun laws and make people crazy when they're not crazy so he can take some stuff away. Guys, that's what this is all about. Austin, what do you think about the story and the other ones I've covered?
Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, this is exactly, I did some research on this Canterbury guy, and I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a full-blown deep state globalist banker cutout. A lot of stuff he has said in the past is incredibly invasive. It's diametrically opposed to the United States Constitution, especially the Second Amendment. ATF is probably by far one of the most corrupt alphabet agencies in the entire United States, not to mention the most useless alphabet agency as far as they do absolutely zero anything legitimate whatsoever. Majority of gun laws as far as managing firearms, making sure firearms are sold properly and so forth, are done on a state level. ATF's ability to what they do is they try to find things to prosecute people over. In most cases, not even crimes occur. What I mean by that is they try to set things up so they can have a legitimate reason for their existence. They don't normally do anything. They try to find things and set people up. Perfect example is Ruby Ridge. I've talked about this so many times with Randy Weaver, but I reiterate it because I think the general population of the United States has truly forgot how unbelievably horrific that incident was at Ruby Ridge with ATF setting up Randy Weaver with shotguns that were not illegal and then coming in and trying to use that by saying they were a half inch too short. By the way, half inch shotgun was an SBS. It was a short-barreled shotgun. It was 18, not 18 and a half. We're basically filing federal ATF charges on you. We're going to go in and seize all of your weapons. We're arresting you. We're going to do a full-blown investigation into you for no legitimate purpose. My question in all this is, when you see stuff like this, where's the victim? Where's the injured party? There is none. There is none at all. It doesn't matter if you committed a crime with that weapon. That's not what they're worried about. They're worried about making sure you follow their arbitrary laws that we don't get to vote on at all, and then they enforce them with the full extent of the law because they have to justify their existence. But again, when they turn around and they run over 2,000 machine guns and 50 caliber weapons to the Mexican drug cartel and intentionally lose them, in my opinion. They lost them, but I think they intentionally lost them. That was a giant gun-running operation that they did down there to increase the amount of weapons that the basically Mexican drug cartel was able to acquire because of probably some weird deal they had with the DEA and everything else. If you want to see the truth on that, one of the real films, especially if you actually listen to what they say and watch what they do, especially with the CIA, is the first Sicario. The second one was good, but the first one really, really dug into the guts to see how controlled these CIA agents are and everything around them, and they have zero oversight. It's same thing with the ATF. The ATF is right beside them on what they do. They could transfer thousands of machine guns and 50 caliber weapons to the Mexican drug cartel, even have Border Patrol agents getting killed with those automatic weapons, even having El Chapo getting caught with those 50 caliber weapons at his compound when they raid him. When's the last time you heard about an ATF agent getting indicted over Fast and Furious? When's the last time you heard of an ATF agent getting indicted ever? Ever. ... Doesn't happen. It never happens. They're above the law. They operate outside of the bounds of the Constitution. They'll keep going with what they can. Even if it's not even a statute, I've seen them go above and beyond just to push to try to find something on somebody to prosecute them over when there's been no crime committed whatsoever. This is what's going on. And so now we're about to hand this clown the keys to the safe and allow him to start going in and prosecuting more people. Let me tell you why this is going on right now. My opinion, a lot of people I've talked to. You guys understand that bump stocks were declared federally illegal per Donald Trump's ATF, basically, initiative that he spearheaded. very few, if you look at the numbers, very few bump stocks have been turned into any law enforcement agencies. Period. There have been hardly any. From what my number that I've seen, there's been a couple thousand bump stocks that have been turned in. There were rough estimate, I think they said upwards of like 240,000 bump stocks that were sold in the last 10 years. They know now that if you have a bump fire stock, even though it's a plastic stock that has zero effect on the trigger assembly whatsoever, ATF had to go back in and rewrite the law from 1934 on what constituted a machine gun just so they could justify making a bump stock illegal. I think personally now he's going to be coming in, doing a full-blown investigation to try to find individuals that have bump stocks to justify, again, the ATF's existence so they can arrest people for felony possession of a machine gun, which a bump fire stock now is classified as, and the same thing Dad just nailed it on the head, the red flag gun law. The red flag gun law is on the precipice of getting passed on a federal level. We already have it in 16 states right now. I'm doing everything I can to be vocal about it. I've tried to talk to as many legislators as I can about it, but the truth about it is it may not happen this year or next year. They're going to get the red flag gun laws on a federal level. And as you guys know from Mark Rubio, he's spearheading this down here in Florida. They have in the bill that is going to give state agencies federal grants on how many red flag gun laws they can enforce. The only way they're going to be able to enforce this on a federal level is the ATF. So if they can come in and start enforcing red flag gun laws and then roll those into just a few people that they find with bump fire stocks, they will then have the pretext to justify anything they want to do. They'll say, listen, this red flag gun law was, it was important. We found John Smith down here, by the way. You know, his sister-in-law turned him in because he's a dangerous man. You know, he made comments about being a patriot. He can't make comments like that in the United States anymore. So we got a red flag gun law issued. We went and raided his house, and we found an illegal bump-fired stock. It's a machine gun now. So now not only are we taking all his firearms, we're charging him with a felony of an unregistered machine gun. Because, I mean, this against law. You can't do that. We're ATF. You got to listen to us. We make law. You listen to them, we'll throw you in jail. That is exactly what they're going to do. They'll spit it in the media. They'll say, we got a dangerous machine gun off the streets. We got this individual in our custody now. We've seized all of his firearms. Bravo, bravo, applause, applause. We're doing such a good job at keeping the streets clean. All the time, you'll find out that this John Smith guy never even got arrested for anything in his life, never even broken a significant law, never even made a threat, but they use this as a scapegoat to justify their existence. And the more these red flag gun laws go into effect, the less and less and less they're going to have to do to justify raiding people's houses to take their firearms. In my opinion, this is the beginning pretext to start gun confiscation in the United States. They've already laid out the laws now on how they're going to do it. Now they have to implement it. Now we have head of the ATF that is essentially a hardcore anti-gunner and is going to do everything he can to disarm the American population. It doesn't get much more clear-cut than that, Dad, with this clown.
Well, I agree with you, Austin. I mean, remember, this is what happened with Operation Valkyrie in Germany when they tried to overthrow Hitler. You know, Tom Cruise did a movie about it. Put the laws into place that in the event that Hitler died, that the government would be taken over by this group. And what ended up happening is when Hitler didn't get killed, all these guys tried to implement this Operation Valkyrie because the laws were in place and ended up getting themselves hanged. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but this is the problem we have. We have these laws that have been put into place now, and Trump pushed this red flag gun law, and he basically is doing all this stuff to us now. I mean, and that's, again, I can't agree with most of what he does now. It's just, he's just turned into another one of the Rothschild lackeys. By the way, this is an interesting article from Breitbart, and I don't really know what to make of it because it seems strange to me they would actually post this. It said, report, California Democrats consider resolution for blaming Israel for anti-Semitism. California Democrats reportedly consider a resolution after their party conference this weekend in San Francisco that blames Israel for anti-Semitism and links, listen to this, the Jewish state indirectly to violent incidences at synagogues in the United States. The resolution, Fox News reports, is one of the several that the party conference was presented on Israel. Some of the draft resolutions would mandate that Democratic officials work to nullify President Trump's pro-Israel policy. By the way, this is written by a Jewish fellow, which doesn't make any sense to me. This whole thing's weird. One document directs party officials to take a subsidized trip to Israel only if they undertake to devote an equal amount of time to visiting Palestinian towns, villages, and refugee camps in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories. The thinking behind the resolution linking Israel to anti-Semitic violence is apparently as follows. The Israeli government is friendly to the pro-Trump administration due to its pro-Israel policies. President Trump is allegedly supported by violent anti-Semitic racists, even though both of the synagogue shooters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and California hated Trump for supporting Israel and Jews. Therefore, Israel is responsible for anti-Semitic violence. In the words of the resolution itself, as quoted by Fox News, the document calls the October synagogue shooting the culmination of an alarming reemergence of anti-Semitism that is a core element of historical and currently resurgent white supremacism in the United States and around the world. The Israeli government, along with some of its U.S. backers, get ready for this, the resolution continues, by the welcome support from Christian fundamentalists and ultra-right groups in the United States and abroad, dangerously ignoring their deeply rooted anti-Semitism while aligning with their virtual Islamophobia. So the author of the resolution is reportedly a left-wing Democrat, Jewish fellow by the name of David Mandel, who is part of the Jewish Voice for Peace, a radical group that hosted convicted Palestinian terrorist O'Day before deportation from the U.S. Now, the group calling itself the Progressive Zionists of California reportedly urged delegates not to vote for the resolution. It's unclear as to the time of this writing what the fate of the resolution and the others on the Israeli issue would be. What I particularly liked about this, their welcome support from Christian fundamentalists and ultra-right groups in the United States and abroad, dangerously ignoring their deeply rooted anti-Semitism. Guys, what a bunch of whackbags in California. I mean, what are they? They come up with this crazy stuff, and it makes Breitbart, and I report on it, and I'm like, what are they even trying to do here? Again, talking about right-wing, talking about Christians, talking about how we're all shadow anti-Semites. Oh, my God, we're shadow anti-Semites. Guys, I love you. Had a chance to pray for you today. Austin, go ahead and finish it up. I'm sorry I went long. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, no, you're good, bud. Absolutely crazy stuff going on today. So, I mean, this is kind of one of those just wild show days off the cuff with a lot of stuff. So thank you for the support, guys. We appreciate everything you continue to do for us. Be sure to check out the product of the week. The CBD oil looks like it won, so it's going to be changing here in the next few minutes. We really appreciate everything. And also, too, be sure to check out the Ultimate Multiple Powder on this huge sale right now with the best buy date of essentially 11/2019, healthmasters.com. We thank you for your support. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.